Hugh Daly, you're still on the line?
I am.
Okay.
Good, we are back in session. Carla, could you please read item 155?
Authorize a competitive solicitation and contract award for the replacement of the regional automated pawn and secondhand information database system software.
Colleagues, the Portland Police Bureau Detectives Division Special Property Investigations monitors pawn shops and secondhand dealer transactions throughout the city in order to recover stolen property. Approximately 132 pawn shops and secondhand dealers are required to report each day on certain regulated transactions to the Portland Police Data System, otherwise known as PPDS. Currently, this is being done through the Regional Automated Pawn and Secondhand Information Database, otherwise known as the RAPID system. The vendor providing and maintaining the current RAPID system was selected more than 10 years ago. There is interest in completing a solicitation of requests for proposals in order to ensure that the city and the police bureau have the latest technologies available to them to continue their tracking and investigation of pawn-related information. The police bureau is interested in completing the vendor proposal solicitation process and initiating the RAPID replacement project in the last half of fiscal year 2019-20. This will allow the Portland Police Bureau to better investigate theft and potentially return property to property crime victims. Property crime disproportionately affects low-income and indigent people who cannot necessarily afford to reacquire or replace their stolen property. The Police Bureau would like to use the RFP procurement process to purchase a system to better track pawn transactions nationally and regionally in order to scale up their investigations of pawn-related information. The RFP will allow PPB to find a system that can better track items, many of which are often stolen, in and out of pawn shops so that property can be returned to its rightful owner. Commander Bell of the Detective Division is here from the Portland Police Bureau to share more details regarding this request. And if you could also, in your comments, explain for me and for others what is currently required. I didn't even know that pawn shops are required to report this information. So if you could educate those of us who don't know that much about it, that would be appreciated.
I'd be glad to, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
So as you said, it's Jeff Bell, Commander of the Detective Division.
Thanks, Commander.
As you said, you know, the theft of property does negatively affect both citizens and businesses here in the city of Portland, and it does disproportionately affect those who are unable to afford to replace items that are stolen. I think back to my days taking calls on the streets and taking calls from folks who've had, for instance, tools stolen, and those tools are their only means to be able to earn additional money, to be able to replace the tools that are, at that point, stolen. So we currently have a system, according to city ordinance, and it's 14B90, that requires that all secondhand dealers, and so this includes pawn shops, but it also includes secondhand, other secondhand retailers, such as folks that buy and sell used video games and things of that nature, they are required to provide the information, including the identity of the people who sell it, the items in particular, any serial numbers. They take pictures and they hold those items for a certain amount of time in order to allow the police bureau to determine whether or not they've been involved in any sort of theft. So there is, we currently use the database that you mentioned, RAPID, and there are a number of other agencies across the Northwest that use this. So although Portland secondhand and pawn shops are required to put information in this, they're not the only ones who are putting information in this. There's folks all over the region. And there are other systems out there that we'd like to take a look at. So that's the purpose behind the request for proposal. This system is our only way of being able to track these items and being able to determine whether or not a pawned item is stolen. Oftentimes, this is our only way to recover stolen items. When folks have their items go missing. The like I said, the requirement is required in city code, and the current contract for our current system expired last year. There were some issues with the hosting of computer hardware, which was part of the contract when we originally got the contract in 2009. And those issues were finally resolved last year. If we had dropped out of the contract at that point without getting an extension, we would have left other agencies kind of in the lurch who were getting their access through our equipment. And so that has now been resolved. The current company now has all of its computerized record keeping in the cloud. So we are now able to seek alternates if there's we'd like to see if there's a better systems out there.
Very good. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. My understanding is that there are less agencies using the RAPID system today. They're using a new data system. I understand. So Portland uses RAPID and Gresham uses this other system.
Yeah, that's correct.
So if my item is stolen in Portland and I take it to Gresham, or somebody who stole it takes it to Gresham and pawns it, then Portland would not know that my item is in Gresham today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And how many agencies in the state of Oregon currently use RAPID?
That's been in flux. I can say your impression of this is absolutely correct. The number of folks who've been using RAPID have declined, and the system that the city of Gresham uses is one that a lot of them have gone to.
Right.
So the balance has definitely shifted towards another product.
I'll let you finish.
Is it your intention to go towards that other product then?
Well, we'd like to do the request for proposal to see
what's out there,
to see what else may be out there.
But to Commissioner Hardesty's good point, we obviously want to try as much as possible to be standardized, or at least have systems that communicate with other jurisdictions locally, for obvious reasons.
Absolutely. And right now, our property crimes detectives do communicate with Gresham detectives in order to try to track some of that stuff down, but unfortunately, as you pointed out, we don't have direct access to that system. As a matter of fact, there are pawn shops who have multiple locations, and if it's pawned in Portland, they put it in one system. Right. If it's pawned in Gresham. So yes, that is one of the things in our request for proposals. We want something that provides us with the most ability to communicate with other agencies, and these things, sometimes we see them, they get pawned across the country.
Right.
So
right.
Yes, that is one of our biggest goals.
And I guess my biggest concern right now is the timeline, right? So you're here today asking for us to support going out with an RFP. You've done a one-year extension, but that extension ends in June?
That's correct.
There's no way you're going to have a new contract by June. So what happens between now and when you are able to actually negotiate a new contract?
So the plan is, obviously, like you said, we don't anticipate, even if the RFP is approved immediately, that we're going to be able to have a new system in place. Our plan is to negotiate another extension with RAPID. Like I said, this, when the contract was up almost a year ago, there were some issues where our having a new contractor backing out of that contract involved some equipment issues. And so, like I said, we have resolved those. Had we backed out last year, had we done this RFP earlier, and had we backed out earlier, we would have potentially cut off access to a lot of other systems. I have no idea why the contract was set up that way, where we were hosting physical actual computer servers for the system. I believe we did get some sort of monetary discount for that, but those issues are resolved, and yes, I can assure you that we have no desire of entering into any sort of agreement that binds us with other agencies.
You know, I was going to ask about that, because I think the police bureau has had a couple of these computer things that were connected to other agencies that have actually exploded in our face. Are we using the Technology Oversight Committee to actually monitor the equipment purchases? Because again, I share this concern that, you know, people who are buying technology who are not technology experts sometimes buy things that just aren't exactly what they need. So I don't know if you have been connected with the Technology Oversight Committee, but I would highly recommend that this process go through them, because there are volunteers that don't work for the city, but they are technology experts. And the advice that they have provided to us, I know, has saved us tens of millions of dollars.
So I'll second that. I mean, it's an old saw for me. But Commissioner Hardesty and I have spoken with one voice on this, and consistently, I'm very concerned about the way we purchased software package and apps and customer service programs, because we don't really have a standardized check and balance system internally. And we all know from region what the experience can be and how bad it can get if the technology is flawed, as region is. And if we don't negotiate a good contract that gives us a clear opt-out opportunity in the event that the program doesn't work the way we expect it to work. But Commissioner Hardesty is right. We should go through some stage gate planning prior to actually signing anything with any product. And I want to make sure that that happens as well. So I'd really encourage that, Commander. And I know you're not responsible for the previous issues, but we all have the opportunity to learn from some of those previous issues as well. That's something you can commit to?
Yes, that is something I can commit to. I completely agree, and obviously there's a lot of folks who had nothing to do with region or this contract who are now well aware and learning from those lessons. So, Commissioner Hardesty, any advice you have on that regard? And you said it's the Technology
Oversight Committee, the TOC. I think we could get Tom Reinhardt connected with you and figure out how we could get their assistance in this effort. But I'm happy to help you with that.
And Robert, obviously legal counsel is well primed for some of these contract negotiations. And as I've said, we need an opt out. And we didn't have that with region, unbelievably.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly, did you have any questions on this item before we go to public testimony?
I don't.
All righty, very good.
I just have one more question.
Yes, Commissioner Hardesty.
So on the impact statement, I asked the lieutenant yesterday what this sentence meant, and he couldn't tell me. And I told him to prep whoever was coming here to answer this question. And so the question was under community impact and community involvement. The sentence reads, while no community members were involved in the development of this amendment, the services in and of themselves establishes a means for Portland Police Bureau to carry out part of its mission to protect property and promote individual responsibility and community commitment. So I was unaware that the Police Bureau was in the business of promoting individual responsibility and community commitment. What does that mean?
So in my mind, the piece about promoting individual responsibility, we have a system that basically holds folks accountable when they buy and sell used goods. So I think it's entirely possible that a lot of people that sell stolen goods to secondhand stores may not know of their origin, but having a system in place where we track these items, where we're able to track them down later if people record their serial numbers, we are holding people accountable and making them responsible for their choices in terms of choosing what they want to do with this property. It also makes the secondhand dealers responsible for the property they receive. Without programs like this in place, there is less of an incentive for these stores to make sure that the items they're purchasing are legitimately owned and not purchasing stolen items. So in terms of individual responsibility, that's how I look at that.
I find it problematic that the police would say as part of their mission to promote individual responsibility, right? I just don't think that's the police job. The police job is to solve crime and prevent crime. It's not about it. The courts hold people responsible once they go through a judicial process. So I read that and just really struck me as a very odd statement to be putting on a request for a new system to track stolen stuff. So I'm told that Catherine is a little creative in her writing, and so you might want to have a conversation and say, just stick with the facts and let's not embellish what the role of this particular project is. Thank you.
Thank you.
One last question. Could you just quickly explain what is required? First of all, what is the difference between a pawn shop and a secondhand dealer? Is there a legal distinction between those two?
I'd have to look at the city code does have definitions for all that stuff. Essentially, this ordinance, I mean, in layman's terms, anything that any business that buys used goods kind of falls into this. So it's not going to be like Goodwill that takes donations, but like a pawn shop or, like I said, a video game store that buys and sells used games will fall under this.
And I wasn't aware of this, but in order to get licensure, it's the state that requires them to have a tracking system for all goods coming in and going out. Is that correct?
That sounds correct, yes.
Okay. And that's what causes us to need this system at the local level?
Yes.
Okay. And how long does that data have to be kept?
That actually I don't know. Okay. As far as I know, it is kept until the item... Actually, I apologize. I don't know how long that data is kept.
Okay, that's fine. I was just curious. Very good. Thank you. Any further questions? Carla, do we have public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Very good.
Please come on up. Diana Gutman, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and Maggie.
Good morning. Would you like to start, please?
Yes, please. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Diana Gutman, and I'm in support of this specific agenda item, item 155, to support coming up with a software that would allow investigations for people to receive the things that had been taken from them. I think that this has a major impact on so many people in our city, especially people in communities where theft is a lot higher. That is something that we really need to be taking seriously and look to. I do have a couple questions in regards to what I've heard under this presentation. I wanted to find out how this would be regulated. This is the first time that I've actually even heard about this since I've been attending the Portland City Councils in the last couple years that I've been here. And so I'm curious, as this is something that's already been in place by the City of Portland, this is a mandate by the State of Oregon for the police bureaus to work together with our constituents. And so I want to know, how is this regulated? Because this is the first time this is even being talked about. The second question that I have is, when we are looking for a new contract, my question is, what is the cost going to be? What is that going? How much is that going to cost the city? Who the vendors are going to be, whether or not we even have a vendor list going, if we've even reached out to appropriate vendors that could provide this kind of a contract for the city. And then lastly, is this going to be a inclusive database? Because there is already discrepancy with people with other bureaus using different databases, and then even going beyond that, you have secondhand shops that are using different databases that can be a chain. So how are we going to make this more inclusive so that we can actually solve these investigations more effectively and work with the community partners and the people who have lost something? Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
I'm Maggie, Portland Homeless Town Hall. Okay, so daily there are thefts of people's phones in all the shelters. And when you have people who are, you've got a couple of different kinds of people. You've got people who are non-predatory and victims, and you have people who are predatory and victims, and you have people who are just out there and just plain predatory. And these shelters need to have a requirement where they are required to provide a lockup space for people to put their phones at night and then they can get them when they leave
Maggie,
in the morning.
This is a good idea, but this is related to pawn shops.
This is about prevention. And this is an area that, you know, where are all these phones that get stolen in the shelters going?
Maggie,
you know,
stick
they're
to the
probably
point.
Going
I'm
to
be
pawn
honest.
Shops. Right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay.
You're just saying. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know?
Good morning.
Good morning, Madam President Hardesty and Mayor Wheeler.
Good morning.
You know, there's a lot of talk now, in addition to theft, about socialism. And we have a lot of corporate socialism. And I'm worried that this is small-scale corporate socialism. One of the things Commissioner Hardesty mentioned was, what the heck is this individual responsibility crap? It's actually a little bit promising in that it was rephrased as business owners being responsible for their costs to society. But when we look at this proposal, we really don't have very much clarity about this. Pawn shops exist to make their owners financially secure. And I think we really need to engage with Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum, presuming she's reelected, kind of unopposed this year, and make sure that the state and the city, through its police bureau, even though the police bureau has the hugest budget of any bureau, so that we make sure that 100% of the costs, even though there is some social benefit to crime victims for this program, there's no reason why all the costs should not be part of operating businesses for pawn shops. So I hope that as we put out the RFP, when you vote today and probably approve this RFP process, I hope that in addition to engaging the Technology Oversight Committee, and maybe there's a role for the city's chief technology officer, that we will look at what do pawn shops pay to private insurance companies, and why is the pawn industry not able to 100% cover the cost of this program? Again, I'm not an anti-socialist. When there's a benefit, I think the mayor in his opening remarks mentioned that oftentimes lower economic status people are the victims of these thefts. But it's not the best thing when all the taxpayers collectively cover that, when really the cost and the duty is there for those pawn shop owners who are making the money. So I hope that in the RFP process and the development of this, we discuss more about not giving welfare to pawn shop owners just because some EBT card holder had their PlayStation 4 stolen.
So Charles, so the pawn shops have to buy their own equipment. We're not buying equipment for pawn shops. This is equipment for the police to be able to track stolen items, right? And this is state law. So it's not, this is not new. This is something we've been doing ever since the state law was passed. The only difference is that we are looking to see if there's a better contractor that could provide the service, and that the service that they provide would be utilized by lots of our neighboring counties and cities, right? The system we've had for 10 years, what we learn is that less and less governmental entities are using it, which is why we're going out to look for new stuff.
So this is interesting. I think you're onto something, because we are spending money on a proprietary system in order to prevent pawn shops from basically dealing in stolen goods.
That's right.
Why aren't we? I'll ask staff. Thank you for your comments.
And one
your
thing
comments?
I would say, as you both talk, there's a jurisdictional issue. So I really think that when I'm pretty sure Commissioner Hardesty is very familiar that the state operated a surveillance database of all Oregonians. That was crap. That should not have been done with taxpayer money. But some of that infrastructure maybe should be repurposed so that statewide we can have one pawn shop financed stolen property tracking system. So I hope the legislative agenda might be, I know we have a lot on the city's legislative agenda that we want from Salem this year and next, but maybe there's one more line we can add in. Thank you very much, both of you.
This is helpful. Thanks all three of you.
Why can't we register phones like we do bicycles with the police? Especially for aging and disabled people.
Appreciate it. Okay. Commander, could you come back for one moment just so I can ask you a question? I'm sorry, Commander. Thank you. The lights are often blinding up here. Everybody looks good from up here, by the way. Just want you all to know that. The question, since we are buying a proprietary system that is used to regulate an industry that unfortunately has a reputation for dealing in stolen goods, and I'm not saying everybody in that industry engages, this is a bad apples type situation, and sometimes it's unintentional, and I understand that. But why isn't the industry bearing the cost? And an analogous example here is the real estate industry is bearing the cost of our rental registration system. So we're doing it, but they're paying for it. Why isn't there an analogous example here to this industry?
So I don't know the history. What I do know is that it's probably a result of the fact that our current budget for the program that we have now is only $9,000 a year, approximately. That's about how much we spend. So
for the software?
For the software, yes.
$9,000 a year?
That does not give me a great deal of confidence. But I'll look forward to seeing your RFP.
Hence the RFP,
okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Good. All right.
I don't know what a new system will cost. It's entirely possible. I mean, we believe that's probably on the low end.
Okay.
Obviously. And again, I don't know what the history was behind this, but I think it was viewed as kind of a minor cost, so they didn't necessarily think to defer that
now,
to the businesses.
If that's true, I just find that astounding, and I'll look forward to the RFP when it comes back. Good.
But I think
it won't come back if it's only 9,000.
That's true.
I don't think the Bureau would be opposed.
When it crashes, it'll come back.
I don't think it will come back at 9,000.
No.
I don't think the Bureau would be opposed at deferring those costs to the businesses that force us to need this software. So
great. Thank you, Commander Bell. Thanks for all your service and the good work you do.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. This is a first. Anything else, Commissioner Hardesty, on this? This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next item.